welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today we want to talk a little bit about the importance of getting into the scripture. And this is neat because I've seen two big celebrities in the past few months that have come out, and despite always being conservative or having more traditional values, even in many cases promoting church and church attendance, in at least one of their cases, I don't know if for sure on the other, but they've come out and said, hey, I'm reading the Bible for the first time. These guys are old, like older. I'm not saying ancient. I'm not saying 90. But one of these, of course, is Tucker Carlson, and the other is Tim Allen. Now, I don't follow either of these particularly close. It's just that I've seen some news articles lately where both of them have recently come out and talked about reading the Bible for the first time. So to my understanding, Tucker Carlson was raised in a church, and he basically stayed in the church for a long time, professed Christianity, but had never read the Bible. Reminds me of a story. I tell the story in my book, Half My Life, about a young man that I knew that he was a few years younger than me. And in college, you know, him and another friend of his, they always invited me to church. I'm like, yeah, you're wasting your time with all that kind of stuff. And I eventually became a Christian, and he didn't believe it because I was a heathen. Of course, read that book, you'll understand. You know, it's all sorts of negative exploits in my life. And I came to Christ, and he would be like, you're still a Christian. You're still a Christian. And I talked to him. I'd talked to him a few times because I had, by this time, I had become a Christian just before going off to grad school. And he was just finishing high school at the time. We were like 4 years apart. And he'd say, are you still a Christian? Yeah. Read the whole Bible yet? You know, and early on, you know, the first month or two, I'm a Christian. No, I haven't read the whole Bible yet. And so only about a year later, we're out there and he's like, you still a Christian? I said, yeah. He's read the whole Bible yet? I said, I have. Have you? No. This is a guy that's been dogging me to go to church the entire time I've known him, for about almost close to 10 years this point in time. Never read the Bible. And it's a common trend. Most Christians don't read the Bible. And without reading the Bible, you cannot be faithful to the Word of God. You have to know what's in the Word of God to be faithful to the Word of God. But Tucker Carlson came out and said, I'm reading the Bible for the first time. And maybe 3 months ago, I think I saw that. And he said, it's incredible what's in there and the shocking things he learned being in there. Well, the other one is Tim Allen. Now, Tim Allen, I read the article, and he said he was kind of born and sort of raised in a church, but I think he left it early on because it really wasn't a good experience for him. Again, I didn't get into all the details of everything, but I got the impression that he at least left that church, but he is obviously a big voice for one of the few conservative actors. You have him, you have Chris Pratt, I think, obviously Kirk Cameron, big conservative actors. Kirk Cameron, of course, being more of an evangelical. I think Chris Pratt also, I'm hoping I have that name right. I should, but you never know, right? But Tim Allen came out this last week and said he's reading the Bible for the first time in his life. I don't know how old he is, but I know that he was an adult actor, like a well into adult actor when I was still a kid. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he's 60s, possibly even 70s, reading the Bible for the first time. Pushing family values, conservative values. I'm not sure if Tim Allen's really pushed Christian values as much as a Tucker Carlson or a Kirk Cameron. Of course, Kirk Cameron, I hope he's read the Bible, you know, with all the things he does. I imagine he probably has several times. But what we're seeing is this trend of conservative people who've been conservative reading the scriptures for the very first time. And it got me thinking that, you know, the biggest problem with modern churches today is that modern churches have a bunch of people in there who have never read the scriptures. It is true. There's some various reports come in, and I'm not going to quote exactly who the groups are that do the research projects because I can't remember off the top of my head, but I did actually quote the statistics in Testing and Temptations, which was published over a decade ago at this point in time. I published that book in 2014. And at that time, only about a quarter of Christians actually spend regular time reading their Bible. And it's been going down and down and down ever since. I think the last statistic I saw is something like 13%. But if you look at atheists, more atheists have read the Bible than have Christians. We tend to teach Christianity these days as more of, you're a Christian if you go to church. And churches, unfortunately, have become more like social clubs than anything else. Many places put more stock in church attendance than they do in scripture reading. And I find that to be offensive. And I think God does too, that the very core base of our life should be on scripture. Of course, we have some common verses from scripture I wanted to read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So all scripture is empowered for this. It's profitable for us to learn, to correct ourselves and even others, to train ourselves in the righteousness. And I didn't pull out the verse from Romans 12, you know, that transform yourself by the renewing of your mind, of course, which carries with it an element of scripture. But I did pull out Romans 15, 4. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. This is important as we get in, and I've been studying a lot more about eschatology lately, that is the doctrines of the end times, and I did a wonderful analysis of a book that doesn't specifically say pre-wrath, but probably closest to pre-wrath of the main views. So I read that. Right now I'm digging into one which takes a more pre-tribulation view, which honestly, after reading and understanding and seeing a cohesiveness of the other viewpoint, I'm finding a lot of holes and going, yeah, but if that's not true, why is this over here? It's very interesting. But one of the main points, and I've talked about this before, it is not a person who prays for salvation one time that is saved. It is a person who perseveres to the end. And all through this, I think we are going to go through difficult times. The scripture promises us difficult times. Jesus says, you will experience tribulation. We as a Christian, if we live out the proper Christian life, will experience persecution. We will experience some degree of suffering. We will experience issues in our lives if we truly are committing ourselves to Christ. But the scripture says over and over and over, several places, it is those who persevere who are saved. Not those who said a prayer once. Those who persevere to the end through whatever trials and tribulations and temptations are thrown at us. Who remains faithful to Christ? Not perfect, not sinless, but who says, I still hold on to Christ. I still sin. I confess my sin. I am living out the best life. I am transforming myself into the form of Christ by righteousness through, as Romans 4, through the perseverance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. That is so important. And so what we're seeing is a lot of people who attend a lot of churches who don't know the scriptures. They don't read the scriptures. A friend of mine tells a story about a person who was an elder in a church, and he had never read the Bible at that point in time. My friend challenged him to read the scriptures. He read the Bible once and then gave the Bible back to my friend, said, yeah, I don't think I'll read it again. It's an elder of a church. That's how sad of a state it was. When I was excited about getting in and digging into the scriptures and committing myself to reading the Bible at least one time through from cover to cover a year, I actually had a pastor of mine at the time discourage that principle. He's like, well, you don't need to do that. You just, you know, it's like, what? You have to understand what is in the scriptures. Now, when we get into the final analysis, though, I have one more verse pulled out because this is another one of contention, which has a couple views. This is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now, we have a couple of interesting elements we can talk about this here, and I'll try and keep this short to keep this video down. We're about as long as I like to keep videos already, so there are a couple views. One is we have to do our study based upon the previous views, and we have to adopt the exact views of people before us. Obviously, the challenge with that is there are changes in understanding of scriptures. There's changes of the scriptures themselves as archaeological discoveries clarify what the original word of God might originally have been in its original language. We see things like that. In the midst of all of that, we also see that some people have created doctrines around cultural things. I just finished reading a book on the history of the English Bible, and what was interesting is a lot of the new English Bibles that came out were not carried out and brought forth because of the translation itself. They were actually done because the kings and the rulers thought the study notes in the Bibles were inappropriate. And that's something, because we all run around and talk about study Bibles, and you can't go to a Bible study where somebody doesn't have a study Bible. Then they go, oh, well, hold on, let me read the little note. And then you'll read some little note and you're like, okay, it's interesting. Who came up with that? Is that in the canon of scripture? You know, is that truthful? It might be truthful, it might not be. But the one viewpoint really says you have to build everything on the base. But the opposite viewpoint, really popularized by George Mueller, is that let's analyze the scripture for the scripture itself. Let's not worry about all the commentaries and all these other things, and let's interpret the scripture for itself. Let's spend our intense focus just on that, and let's build up our doctrine. I think that that's probably closer to the truth, but we cannot ignore the ideas from the past. So somewhere in the middle, closer to George Mueller's view, is where I would suggest. Now, the problem with entirely interpreting it on that is too many people trying to interpret the scripture based on their feelings. Of course, the Reformed theology has the view of sola scriptura, you know, scripture alone. And the problem is most of the adherents of sola scriptura actually take all their teachings from sola someone else's scriptura, and they are writing out their entire interpretation of scripture based on something they've read in a book, going back to that original point. So I think that the original viewpoint, we really should focus more and more on studying the scriptures ourselves, spending the vast majority of our scriptures looking at the scriptures, and the more we read it, the more we understand. So this year, for the first time, I'm shooting to read the scriptures through four times this year. Genesis to Revelation, cover to cover, four times. How am I doing? Well, it is, the end of August. I am on the New Testament of read through number three. So it does appear I will probably meet my goal. Then I read different translations each time. So something about a translation might stick out. I don't think there's any one heretical translation, unless we're talking about the Queen James or the Intolerance Bible. Yes, they exist. But there's a number of Bibles which I think are fairly sound. And I will read from a variety of different translations to gain a better perspective. But I also read from a variety of different formats. So right now I'm reading the World English Bible, which I've never heard of. It came up in a live stream discussion a couple months ago, obviously, right when I was finishing my read through the second time. And so I'd never heard of that. It's actually a public domain modern translation. They wrote it in a modern translation fairly recently. I forget all the details, but then they released it into the public domain, which was where the Bible should be. We shouldn't have copyrights on these things, really. But I'm reading a chronological read-through using a phone app to basically chronolize the reading, so I will read through the whole Bible chronologically. So far this year, I totally forget what my first read-through was. My second read-through was a New King James Version using a format of a Bible that I saw at a Presbyterian church in Alabama, where it takes a little bit of the New Testament, a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of Psalms, a little bit of Proverbs every day. I actually didn't like that approach, honestly. Because I read so much in a day, it was just jumping back and forth too much. I didn't like that as much. Although if I were reading through the Bible one time a year, that would be a perfect Bible. And I did a review of that particular Bible. I really like the chronological Bible. Of course, there's different interpretations of that. I think the best chronology is the Rees chronological Bible, which is only available as a King James version, but it's very good. I like his chronology better than I like the Tyndale's chronology. However, theirs isn't horrible. It's just not ideal. And so we have to carry that type of stuff with us in our balance as well. And then sometimes I'll just go through, let's just read it straight from Genesis to Revelation. And I've done it before where I'll do a little, you know, 2/3 of my reading from the Old Testament, 1/3 of my reading from a New Testament each day. And that gets me through it as well. So the basic principle here is don't be like these men who many of us look up to and get near the end of your life before you get into the scriptures. Read it early. Read it often. Shoot for that one time every single year, and then see if you can't get 2 times every single year. The more you read it, the more you're going to understand it. And then as you do more in-depth study with a firmer understanding of the whole of it, you'll go back and remember various parts, and you'll be able to see various theologies and the errors in various theologies as they are put forth. So there is our lesson for today. Thanks for watching. Of course, you can find more resources on the website at ourwalkinchrist.com. With that, thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.